Everyone connected, ladies and gentlemen. I'm very grateful that you found the time to follow Anima's results on such a busy day, filled with company results and other news. Without any further wait, I would like to give the microphone to Alessandro Melzi, our Chief Executive Officer and General Manager, who will comment the figures that we just published for you. And of course, we will wait for your questions at the end. Please, Alessandro.
Thank you, Luca. Thank you, everybody, for attending our conference call. And hi, everybody. Well, I'll bring you through, take you through our presentation as always. I'll start from page three with the highlights of our 9 months 2024. We reached at the end of September 203 billion of assets. It's not our highest level in our history, but is very close to it. We've actually AUM are up 19 billion approximately year on year. This was due to market effect, of course, but also to inflows that were particularly strong in our retail component, in particular from our partner banks. Institutional category was satisfactory in the 9 months. Just to remind you that we registered in the period minus 2.6 billion of funds underlying our funds, the category that we call wrapping, but we will get back to it. Positive performance of our funds, with several funds above the high watermark, as we can also see from our important level of performance fees of this year. In fact, in Q3, we continue to generate performance fees, a significant level of performance fees. The EBITDA margin is stably over 70%, notwithstanding the acquisitions that we closed, particularly Kairos from the 2nd of May and Castello last year, that impacted with a dilutive effect the margin. And this was fully expected. We continue to generate significant amount of cash as always, but we will get back to it. Page four, just to remind you our group structure after the two acquisitions. Today, Anima Holding is the company leading the group and the listed company. As we already said, but I would like to remind you that our strategy is to focus with the Anima brand and we are with our company, the largest one with 193 billion of assets. We will continue to focus on retail and affluent on the retail and affluent client base, mainly served through our banking and retail distribution networks. Kairos and our alternative business unit will focus more on the institutional and high net worth individuals. Today, as you can see, we have more than 10 billion of assets already in this business unit. We'll continue and we expect a strong growth from the companies from these type of businesses. Page five. If you look at the split of our assets, on the left side of the page, we show the retail. We intend as retail B2C and B2B2C. We reach 105 billion of assets, 51% of the total with this type of clients. The pure institutional, the B2B, on the right side of the page, 99 billion of assets. Page six, our performances. We are very close to the Italian average. The slight underperformance is fully explained by our more conservative asset mix in respect of the Italian industry. This is one of our characteristics. Of course, we are more skewed towards flexible and balanced funds and bond with less pure equity funds. And this is driven by the demand of our clients, of course. Page seven, even though we have the equity component is not our main asset class. We are seeing that equity appetite from the retail customers is increasing in the last 2 quarters, as you can see from our net inflows. And this is driven also by the rate cut that is and will continue, we believe, in the next few months. We provide more appetite for equity risk in respect to the fixed income component that was in the last couple of years was basically the sole asset class sold. On the flexible outflows, as you can see on the blue chart, the blue bar, is fully explained by the wrapping category. Page 8. If you look a little bit more into that in our net inflows of the year, 3.3 billion comes from fund users, retail client, pension funds, and other institutional. As I already said, basically the outflows are explained by the wrapping component, funds underlying funds, and class one insurance mandates. So all the outflows basically have a very low, if not meaningless, profitability for the company. All the inflows are focused on the more juicy asset classes for us. Just to remind you that the vast majority of wrapping is represented by funds underlying our funds, and mainly we on target date funds products. Page 9, looking at a little bit more at our retail component, this is the B2C, purely the B2C. So if you want the most interesting and juicy component of our flows, this is the strongest year in the last 9. We almost reached 1.8 billion. And I think that this is a really important qualitative indicator for our inflows. These inflows come mainly from our strategic and commercial banks partners, and demonstrate the interest of the client, if you want, the renewed interest of the client in our managed solutions, and also the interest of our distributor in getting back to commissions and looking at commissions with more interest if compared to the last couple of years. If you look also at the trend of interest rates, that this is a main driver for the demand of clients and our distributors, I think that this is a trend that will continue in the next few months at least. Page 10, not only the macro is driving the demand of our distributor and clients, but also I think our capability to stay on the market and the appreciation from our partners of the job that Anima is able to do every day. This is a slide showing a sample of almost 2,000 representatives interviewed by an independent company doing this job for Anima couple of times a year. And as you can see, the interest and the support provided by Anima is increasingly perceived as important by our distributor and our clients. And I think that this is a key element for the success of our company in doing our retail business. Page 11, some numbers. We changed a little bit the way we show the numbers to you. We basically the first column is the 9 month statutory. Then we also included a like for like 9 month and of course the last year 9 month. Looking at the percentage increases, I think that the most important thing is that we were able to increase our net revenues both year on year and more importantly probably on year like for like. 20% year on year, 11% plus on the like-for-like. Total revenues, of course, increased even more, 48%, 37%. And this is mainly driven entirely by performance fees that increased significantly this year. If you look at the EBITDA adjusted level, we are almost at plus 50% if compared to last year. Net income plus 78% if compared to last year, both on the like-for-like and on the statutory change. Looking at the margins on the right side of the page, I think this is a key element. Our profitability of AUM increased for several factors: mix improvement, pricing of new products, and of course, the consolidation of Castello and Kairos that brings an higher average profitability. On the cost income side, the ratio ex performance fees is still among the industry lowest. The increase, if compared to our last reporting, is fully explained by the consolidation of the acquired companies, as we already said and explained in the last calls. Tax rate, 28% approximately year to date. This is explained by a couple of items: the badwill income from Kairos, dividends, intercompany dividends, and the step-up of goodwill related to the Castello acquisition, with a net benefit of 6 million. Page 12, and I think on bridge, to explain the big jump that we registered in net income if compared to last year. The major elements are performance fees, of course, as we already said, almost 64 million euros in the 9 months. Other EBITDA, this is the increase in revenues, other revenues and net management fees of almost 20 million euros. And then other major voices, items, the badwill revenue and the BMPS revenue, the BMPS dividend. As you may remind, we hold a 1% stake in the bank. We subscribed the capital increase a couple of years ago, and this is the first year of dividend that we register. Page 13, revenues by quarter. I think it's very important to underline the structural increase in our other income item. This is explained by the internalization of some service rendered by providers on the mutual fund side, and this is structural. Placement fees increased in respect to the last years. And this is thanks to the gross placement activity, the very important gross placement activity done in the 9 months. But again, also in the recurring fees, at the recurring fees level, we see a structural increase explained by in asset mix, product pricing, and the newly acquired companies with a higher top line profitability. Personal expenses, page 14. Costs are stable after the Q4 of last year spike, explained by the renewal of national labor contract. We apply the credit labor contract, so we saw the increase as all the banks and all the financial sector in Italy. Apart from that, then we see that the item is absolutely stable. We have an increase in the variable component, and this is entirely related to the very good results of the year, and in particular the performance fees item registered in the 9 months. Of course, this is an estimate. Page 15, financial position. The company continued to generate a huge amount of cash, as we always did. We continue to be able to pay back our shareholders. This year, we paid almost 80 million euros of dividend in May. We closed 40 million euros shares buyback in September. And we believe that we'll be able to continue to do so, even being able to catch strategic opportunities, always focusing on strengthening our business and allowing us to be able to grow more in the future. Page 16, we wanted to show you a little bit with a little bit more of details our return on liquidity, the liquidity that we manage on our balance sheet. As you can see, we have a cost, and this is the cost related to the bond, the outstanding bond for almost 580 million euros. But we also wanted to show you the capability of the company to manage revenues from the liquidity, and this is driven by interest rates, of course, and the managing of our own portfolio invested in Anima products. That in the last, let's say, in the third quarter, did particularly well. Page 17, some closing remarks. I would say that we continue to improve our asset mix as a company. Class one insurance mandates and the wrapping category are optically showing negative flows for the company, but in reality, these are the less profitable asset classes that we manage. And so, in terms of average profitability, we are increasing our average profitability, increasing our capability to generate revenues on the most juicy asset classes. Of course, market effect on AUM benefit from rate cuts, and we believe that this will continue for the next few months if the interest rates will go further down, as we expect. Castello brought a structural increase in share of alternative funds in liquid assets. We have a totally different dynamics also in terms of inflows and also in terms of stability of the assets if compared to our historical business. I think this is very important in terms of commercial synergy we can have on certain type of clients, mainly institutional and high net worth and ultra net worth individuals. We will continue to push in this direction. Kairos, 1 year since the signing. We signed the deal November last year. We already have 1 billion more than what we bought. I think that the acquisition will be a very successful acquisition. Of course, we are diversifying our business also with Kairos. We still have to do a lot of work, but we are in the right direction. Internalization of fund services, we already talked about it. This is something, it's over. It's over let's say, the process, but the profitability will continue. The increased profitability will continue and will remain there. Total firepower for our M&A activity. We set 500 million euros a few months ago, looking at our capability to generate cash and to do our ordinary activity. Today, we estimate we have 600 million euros of firepower potential. This is post expected 2024 dividend. End of my messages. We confirm our 75% shareholder remuneration commitment, dividend plus buyback over a five year period. The first year, basically, we already did it, and we'll continue like that. I thank you all, and I'll remain fully available for your questions.
Thank you to the speakers today. We now have an opportunity for questions. As a reminder, if you would like to ask a question, please use the raise hand function on your screen, or for those dialing in, it's star 9 on your keypad. Once your name is announced, please unmute your line and say your company name before asking your question. Thank you. The first question today comes from Luigi De Bellis. Please, Luigi, the floor to you.
Hi, good afternoon. I have four questions. The first one is on the flows. So, what is the trend in October and expectation for Q4, both institutional and retail? Second question on the cost side, what is your outlook for operating costs in Q4 and 2025? The third question on the performance fees. So, could we see some performance fees in Q4 to help the top line also in the last quarter? And the last question, can you provide an update on the expected contribution from Kairos and Castello in terms of net inflow? So, you mentioned it, 1 billion of growth of Kairos in terms of total asset. How much is net inflows, net of market effect? And has the number of private bankers remained stable since the acquisition? Thank you.
Okay. Hi, Luigi. Well, I start from the last one. Private bankers of Kairos, they all remained. They, let's say, as far as I understand, they are happy of the new project, and they are all with us. Now the challenge for us, and we're already working on that, will be to attract others to join the project. The contribution of the two companies, as of today, they're both positive in terms of net inflows. Kairos since the closing, second of May, and Castello year to date. So they are contributing positively, both of them. Let me check. This year to date. So we jointly, they are contributing more than 600 million euros of net inflows in the year. That for us is a good number. Of course, our aspiration is to do better, but we are happy that these pretty young acquisitions are already contributing, positively contributing to us. Performance fees, we expect performance fees also in the fourth quarter. How much is always difficult, but we already been able to cash in some. We hope we'll do something more from now on to the end of the year. October, well, the trend of net inflows are very similar. Very similar to what we saw in the last in the first part of the year. I see the retail still strong, and I think that this trend will continue because the decrease in interest rate is benefiting, as I said before, let's say, the willingness of clients to invest in our managed solution, and the willingness of banks and net distribution networks to push more on commissions. So I continue to stay positive on that. In terms of cost, as I said before, of course, the two acquisitions are dilutive in terms of cost income for us. Castello this year is fully, the impact of Castello is fully reflected by our numbers this year. The impact of Kairos is not fully reflected because Kairos is consolidated since the 2nd of May. Therefore, we will have a further worsening of our cost income, given that Kairos has a cost income higher than the average of the group.
Thank Thank you.
Thank you for this question. Our next question now comes from Alberto Villa. Please, Alberto, the floor to you.
Hi, thanks for taking my questions. One question is on the very high firepower you have for M&A, 600 million. I was wondering if you are actively looking at opportunities or is something that is more like a, let's say, long-term possibility, or maybe you already identified something interesting that you might be chase in the future to enlarge your, let's say, offering of investment strategies or something in the distribution as well. The second question is more like let's say a question on what you're expecting as a run rate for the other income. The last two quarters, can we take it as a sort of run rate for the future in terms of other income? And finally, on the tax rate, it was low for the reason you explained. So I was wondering if you can give us an idea of the tax rate you're expecting for the full year and also for 2025.
Sorry, Alberto, but Luca has some problem in unmuting the new system.
Me
Well,
too.
thank you, Alberto.
All right. Starting from the M&A, we, as always, we are always active. I mean, we screen the market in Italy and abroad in order to see if there are some if there are opportunities. Not to be missed. And moreover, today we can also look at different type of acquisitions because we are not only looking at potential strengthening or increasing of our distribution power, but we're also looking at potentially opportunity potential opportunities on the alternative side and also on the private banking side. So we are looking at things around, not particularly relevant in terms of size, but interesting for potential further development of our business model. So yeah, the answer is we continue to be active on that.
Sorry, Alessandro, if I may, it's Italy or also something out of Italy?
Today is mainly Italy.
Okay, thanks.
Even though we are scouting also small things in Europe to strengthen some of our capabilities. But today, the more, if you want, concrete things are in Italy. Run rate of other revenues, yes, you can take the last two quarters. This is a good proxy of what you can expect. Tax rate, well, tax rate for this year, we estimate 29% approximately. Next year, 32%, more or less in line with our historical tax rate, if we don't have particular one-off items.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Currently, we do not have any questions queued, so we'll wait just a few moments to give everyone the opportunity to raise their hand. As there are no further questions, I will now hand back to the speakers for any final comments before bringing this presentation to a close. Thank you. Please go ahead.
Thank you, Rebecca. Thanks to everyone who attended. And once again, we realized that it was this presentation fell on a very busy day. We do not have a next appointment yet because our financial calendar will be announced in probably in early December. or as soon as the board will decide on it. Anyway, it will be a pleasure to see you again. And if we don't have an opportunity to meet in the near future, please accept my best wishes for the holiday season.
Thank you. Thank you all, and bye-bye.